Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
Folks, welcome back to Trainwreck Tonight 340. It is May 6, 2024. We are rolling on into the meat of it, whether it's the second round of the NBA and NHL playoffs, whether it might be the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef, whether it's WWE backlash, or whether it's the Bandits going to defend their NLL championship. So buckle up. We got some great guests with Allie Brady, Gab Goody, and of course, we got our panel of Micah and Slick. So buckle up, stay tuned, and let's go.
You don't stop. Grow, diet soda flows, and what you take magically regenerates. On supermarket shelves, the ovens clean themselves. You don't pay the tab till the last drop. So we all ride for nothing, cause this train never stops.
Folks, and welcome back here on Trainwreck Tonight 340, Dirty at the Derby, sponsored by our favorite place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor. So let's bring in our panel to get the show started. We got Slick Saturday. We got Micah, your friend, my friend, our friend, Jake Micah. Gents, great weekend, packed with action, and it's only action ahead.
Playoffs are great. It's a great time of year. With all sports going on, we had another Slick Clips on Saturday. For those that know, it was great. And Mystic Dan, call me Mystic Slick, baby.
What a Slick Saturday for you!
Yeah,
you were on fire, bro.
It was huge
on fire. Derby, I mean, you can't ask for a better derby than that. I caught maybe the last, I was late to it. Got on my phone as quick as I could after getting back from dinner, caught literally the last 20 seconds of the race, and that's all I needed.
It's all you need
to get to that. Was happy for all the Mystic Dan bettors out there, including you, Slick. Should have listened to you. Listen to you later on for UFC with some great fights there. Anthony Edwards, not that he's arrived, but he's taking a huge taking a leap here. And that was a crazy game, too, on Saturday night. And then we had some fun games yesterday, too. So, yeah, great weekend all around.
Agreed. Seriously, we are strapped in. We are ready to go. So, as far as the Derby, Slick, so I know you were on Mystic Dan. I know you got that out to the people. And then you doubled up. You crushed it at UFC 301.
Yeah. Big night in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. You know, not the people's typical pay-per-view that they would buy for UFC, but nonetheless, however you were watching, the true MMA fans were watching because we had a title fight on the line. Brazilian Alessandro Pantoja successfully defending his flyweight title in his home country. So that was pretty cool to see. And some other great fights. You saw the legend, future UFC Hall of Famer Jose Aldo still doing his thing, getting a unanimous decision win. So all around great night for the Brazilians and those fans because they're a rowdy bunch, let me tell you. But yeah, on the main event, successfully 2-1, cashed the bet on Pantoja by decision. Not bad. And I don't fade the Australians very often, so you had to know something was up And that was free money in my eyes. So worked out.
I agree. You going against the Thunder down under is definitely something that everyone should take note of. With that said, taking note of something, you know, obviously this past year, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, they came in as middling favorites, you know, were able to kind of, you know, sustain, were able to survive and eventually defend their championship. We're seeing the same thing right now with the Buffalo Bandits. They go out and they win a title last year. And then, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say sleepwalk through the season, but, you know, a casual, you know, defense throughout the regular season. But now they're back here again in the NLL Finals. A big 2-0 sweep over the Rock, Slick.
Yeah, I mean, huge. Toronto taking a bunch of L's this weekend. You love to see it. And what better way than with the Bandits, the team in the orange and purple. I mean, it's electric that we have a team in the finals 2 years in a row. Kind of feels surreal, to be honest, living in this city. But, hey, I'll take it. Dominated Toronto in pretty easy fashion. Now we got Albany coming up in a couple weeks. So we'll see. I hope the boys can go back-to-back.
That All Bandits right. championship parade in the Buffalo bracket next year could be a huge favorite if we get a back-to-back. What can the city do again for a second time? That was it's crazy to see the playoff performers come through. Because like you said, it was like not like a bad season, but not a typical – yeah, it was just not what we expected.
Casual, very casual.
Yeah,
felt like an NBA regular season.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Just finding a way to do it, and now they're there where the stakes are the highest. Yeah, you need your performers, obviously, to come through, just like they did you know, last week when we were there. We will be going to the finals, whether it's Big Ugly Ali, myself, and Slick, or some variation of the crew. So you need your performers to show out. So we'll be seeing if Byrne and Daner can show out there, just like the Cavs yesterday needed Spida Mitchell to show out. And speaking of primetime performers in Cleveland, let's go to one primetime performer in Cleveland that we know in the form of FanDuel's Gab Goody. And folks, our next guest at this time can always be seen making some noise, whether she's at the Kentucky Derby finish line or bodying some mouth breather on the timeline. It is Cleveland's Gab Goody. Gab, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? Happy Monday.
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. So I know you had quite the weekend. Give me the kind of the full enchilada. I know it was Kentucky Derby Saturday, but what was the rest of it? What was Thursday, Friday, and Sunday looking like?
Well, Friday was a little bit of a travel day, but I also went to the Kentucky Derby. Well, I went to Churchill Downs. It was the Oaks. I guess it's like the lady horses race, and you wear pink, and it's cute. And it's, that one was really fun and cute. And then Saturday, Kentucky Derby. Friday night, we also had a FanDuel party. Neo was there. He was bringing women on stage, and he brought this like 60-year-old lady on stage. She stole the show. She was a star.
That's hard to do with Neo on stage too. I mean, he's no like light of foot. Is he still at the top of his game?
Oh my God, he was phenomenal. Every single song was a bop. I was like, oh yeah, I know this song. Oh yeah, I know this one too. No misses.
That's amazing. You're getting all the perks. I mean, I'm kind of jealous. How long has it been with FanDuel now?
It's been about 4 years, almost 4 years. Yeah.
Okay. Dominating, obviously. So then you're there Saturday. So talk to me about the content. Talk to me about the vibe. Was that your first time being at the Kentucky Derby?
No, I was there last year. Last year was fun. This year was even better because last year I didn't really know what was going on. First timer.
Ignorance is bliss. It's like the first time you watch a TV show. You watch it to enjoy it. You get what's going on. Then the next time, you kind of pay attention. You kind of know what's going on a little bit more.
Yeah. And then you are an expert. So did some red carpet interviews, did some fan content, bet on one race. I only bet on one race, lost. But it was fun.
Any good interviews did you snag on the red carpet?
Jameis Winston, he was awesome. He was so funny.
So you have to be excited about that. I know you've been pushing that vibe big time with Jameis.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool to see Jameis out there take the field a couple games, you know. I think everybody wants that.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone wants to see Jameis get one more chance. Too many, a lot of interceptions that 1 year, but is it just the coach?
Well, I mean,
who knows? Who knows?
For anything, it's just for the memes.
Okay. I got to hold off. Okay. But we'll hold off. So all in all, Kentucky Derby, now that you've experienced it again, now that you've gone a second time, is it something that you would put on like your Mount Rushmore of sports events? I mean, you've been to a lot of stuff.
No, I wouldn't put on my Mount Rushmore of sporting events.
Why is that? Like too much chaos, too much nonsense?
Well, my feet hurt really bad. That was my own fault. So that was my own decision. I could have prevented that, but still the outfit was great.
the outfit, I give you credit. With that said, were the feet hurting from pounding the pavement looking for content, or was it like a necessity of being at the Derby?
Both.
Okay.
It was both. And I was standing in one place for like 4 hours, just standing there with a microphone, and I think that's what did it.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, sometimes standing in place for a couple hours, that seemed like that was what the Cavs were doing in the first half yesterday. Yeah, okay. So talk to me. I wasn't checking the timeline specifically at this window. I think I was taking an afternoon nap. I hate to say it, but late first half, were you panicking? What was Cavs fan base like? Was it five alarm fire?
Well, everything that I said in the first half was really mean, but I don't regret anything that I said. I still stand by it.
That's fair.
No taking that back. I thought we were going to get blown out by like 30.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like it. I mean, yeah, the first half, it was all Orlando. It was kind of that gritty game that the series has been the whole way, but it was going in Orlando's direction. Now, here's the thing with the NBA. Unless it's a 20-plus point game, which it was kind of on the fringe of, you know, it was like 10, almost, 15 at points.
18.
Unless it's 20-plus, you can't really write a game off. Anything could happen in the NBA with 20-point game. And then you get the third quarter and the game's on its head, of course.
Yeah. So third quarter was good. Let me tell you this though. I'm not trying to take credit for the Cavs win, but I was traveling all day yesterday and my flight was at like 1:30 and I couldn't watch the first half of the game. And to start the flight, we had ESPN, but for some reason it was saying game is out of coverage. I'm getting NBA blackouts on an airplane. I didn't understand that. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere pops up on the screen for the second half, watch the whole second half. And I watched the entire comeback.
So oh, that's glorious. All the best parts. So now, did you have Twitter while it was blacked out, though?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that's like, actually, refreshing. I was going to say, you got the best of all worlds because you got to watch the second half, which is obviously the better part of the game, but you kind of got the worst of all worlds in that you only got to experience Twitter when it was miserable, which was probably like...
Doom.
Terrible. Yeah.
Doom scrolling, yeah.
Doom scrolling on X. Not exactly what you want to have happen, although I think Elon doesn't mind. Okay, so we're on to the Celtics here. Optimistic, yes, or is it kind of like we're just happy to be here? I mean, what's the vibe?
I don't want to say we're happy to be here. That sounds like such a lame thing to say, you know? Mm-hmm. We get to go on. No, we want to win more games. We were a good team at one point in the year. We were winning a lot of games. So why can't we figure out how to do that now? We should win these games. We have good players on our team. Hopefully Jared Allen can play.
Yeah, and that's
big. I'm not going down the doom route yet. I'm not saying that we're going to win the series, but I think we're going to be more competitive than everybody is giving us credit for. I mean, even the books, they're like money on fire if you bet on the Cavs. So,
I mean, maybe it's worth lacing the Cavs. I mean, let's face it, you know, when the money's all in one direction, it might be, you know, worth Harry Styling the other way, obviously. But with that said, okay, for the Cavs to win, what needs to happen besides Spida Mitchell going off for, you know, average of 35 every game?
Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and everybody else on that damn basketball team needs to figure it out all together, all at once, at the same time, in the same game for multiple games. That's a lot to ask for.
It is a lot to ask for, but they just got it done. Again, the series doesn't start till you lose at home. So apparently I'm still waiting on the Cavs Magic series to start, last I checked. But with that said, speaking of a group of games and doing well, I mean, I knew the Guardians were doing well. I knew they were above 500. I knew they were chugging along. I didn't know they were a top five team in the MLB so far in the May here. 22-12, what was it? Sustainable? Question mark?
TBD. We'll find out later.
I have to actually go back because I jumped the gun too much. Because we got the Cavs in the second round real quick. Would you take, because I've seen you floating this option already on the timeline.
Okay.
If I could give you the button for each option.
The answer is yes, I want LeBron.
Cavs to beat the Celtics in this series,
okay,
or just the guarantee that sometime in the next 4 years, LeBron comes back to Cleveland. Which would you rather have?
LeBron?
You're going to take that over the Celtics?
I'll take them to beat the Celtics.
The reason it's tough is because I feel like
what happens after that?
If you beat the Celtics, you have to think that you're in the finals. Like if you could beat the Celtics, you could beat the Knicks. If you beat the Celtics, you could beat the Pacers, of course. You don't know if you could beat the Knicks?
I watched it last year. That was bad.
You must be like doom goody in 2024. I've seen optimism from you in the past, and now I'm seeing your team like at the precipice of greatness, and you're worried.
Did you see the series?
Yeah, I saw the series. It was a phone booth. I call it a phone booth series. It was gritty. They were grinding it out. When one team got thing going in their direction, it was all their direction, as we saw even in game seven. So with that said, I think a new series, new mindset, new approach. And let's face it, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the Celtics lost a game to a Jimmy Butler-less Heat at the end of the day.
They did. And we played the Celtics well.
Yeah. You just got to play well. Again, it's like you don't have to win these games by 20 points. You got to find a way to win four out of the next seven by 1 point. Just win. Okay. So, but with that said, you're taking the Cavs. You're flopping back to Cavs over Celtics.
I mean, LeBron's my guy. I love LeBron. LeBron's going to be my favorite basketball player of all time till the end of time.
Did that new contract hurt a little? Like, I mean, you were on the momentum. I saw you.
But I feel like he's going to come back regardless, so I don't need to make that decision for him.
Well, or the Cavs could just trade up and draft Bronny Jr. I mean, you know, like, sure. There's many ways to achieve that. Okay, so speaking of many ways to achieve, we got the Guardians in the MLB. We obviously have the White Sox, so they got about, 13 buys still on the schedule here. But we're talking sustainability. We're talking end game here. Just like I asked you about the Cavs, if they're going to beat the Celtics, if the Guardians are going to win, 95-plus games, which they are pacing, like, at this point, but it's about sustainability over 6 months. If they're going to win 95-plus games, what needs to happen?
I'd be happy with 80-some games. But if they were to do 90-some games...
They're pacing 100!
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think they're going to do fine. I want them to... I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I'm not putting them at 95. I'm happy with my over at 78 that I took.
Okay.
Right? That sounds great.
That is fair.
But we need our pitchers to stay healthy. Gavin Williams to come back off the IL and figure out that elbow issue. I need Tristan McKenzie to stay healthy.
Tristan McKenzie the big, you know, Cleveland always has a pitcher. It's like just when you think their pitching's good, it's like their third, fourth, or fifth guy becomes like an ace out of nowhere.
Well, we got
that McKenzie? Okay, no, you got
Tristan,
a couple.
Tristan's
this year.
Already like one.
Oh,
of
he's already evolved to his second.
Yeah, he's
form.
Already done
I missed that. Okay.
But he just had some elbow issues last year. He's already evolved. Tanner Bibee is evolving, and underneath him is Gavin Williams, who is the next.
Yeah, like, Gavin. All right, I've seen him. I've seen him floating around the fantasy circles. Speaking of fantasy circles, one of my favorite things in a fantasy in my world, playing on a sports team with your brother. So you got Josh and Bo Naylor. By the way, I've put it on the record what a big fan I am of Josh Naylor and his ability to act like a complete lunatic at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things in sports. But basically, my first favorite non-Yankee in the MLB. But we're going to play Josh or Bo Naylor here with Gab Goody. So with that said, are you ready?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Brought to you by Outlet Liquor, your place to buy a case, obviously. So with that said, if you're going to go Josh or Bo Naylor, who would you rather host a podcast with?
Oh, so I think I'm going to go with Josh, but I feel like he's a little more serious than Bo. I think Bo would be funnier, but Josh has the MLB experience and he probably has more connects right now. And we could probably get some cooler guests.
I thought that was a total personality versus network pick. Like, yeah. I think Bo probably has the better personality for a pilot, but Josh probably more established, like you said. Of course.
Josh is like, you know how he's like super crazy.
Yes.
On the field. But when he does his interviews, he's so
super
serious.
Yep, yeah. I gotcha. Okay. Which one of the Naylor brothers is more likely to end up like the guy in Baby Reindeer? You seen it?
No, what's Baby Reindeer?
Okay, you got to watch on Netflix. Guy it's, basically
I
ends
Netflix,
up getting,
but I don't know what it's about.
Guy basically ends up getting stalked in a crazy way. So basically, who was more of a pushover between Josh or Bo Naylor?
It's gonna be Bo. No one's gonna mess with Josh.
Yeah, no, that's true. A soccer with Josh, that could get dangerous. Yeah, okay, no, so with that said, who would you rather go on a road trip with? This is kind of similar to the podcast thing, but road trip is like, you know, it's that like 3 days straight. So is Josh too much for that? Would you rather go with the safer Bo pick?
Yeah, I think I would rather go with Bo.
Okay. Which of the Naylor brothers do you think has a more complete fridge? Meaning like, you know, multiple food groups, you know, everything covered. Who do you think is the safer pick there?
Probably Josh.
Okay. And who do you think is the bigger T-Swift fan? Josh or Bo Naylor?
I think it would be Bo.
Okay. I think it's Bo too. I think that's a safe pick. This is Josh or Bo, brought to you by Outlet Liquor with Gab Goody here in Cleveland. Let's wind it down here with our time with GG. Drake or Kendrick feud. So I know you were busy this weekend and a lot happened.
Yeah.
Are you up to date? Where are you at on this?
Okay. I've listened. I didn't listen to the newest Drake one.
Okay.
The one with like the little comment photo, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't listen to that. I've listened to all the other ones.
Yeah. Okay. So
a little up to speed. Not all the way.
Okay. So you're in like Breaking Bad season 4 or season 5, basically. So who you got? You got Kendrick way up front right now?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. I figured that was... I didn't want to assume.
No. It's okay. Kendrick for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm going to listen to all.
Of course. Well, you got to catch up. So I won't go any further until you can binge and catch up the rest. Speaking of catching up, did you see the snack prices at the Formula One this weekend?
Were they expensive?
I believe it was $25 for a bottle of water.
Okay. Well, that changes my decision on a lot of things now.
Yeah, that does change a lot. So my question is, what's the most expensive snack you've ever bought / what's the thing you've ever, like, you can remember overpaying for the most in your world?
Oof. Literally.
You've been at a lot of high tier events. You've been at a lot of crazy spots.
Literally everything. Like a $40 drink. Oh, the most expensive thing I've ever got was, like, I didn't buy this, but someone bought it for us when we were in Vegas. We were at a pool party at Encore. And someone bought us these margaritas and they were $60 each.
$60 each.
They were in these big cups.
Okay.
With
the swirly straws? Wait, was it the one that goes all the way down?
No, it was more like this size, not like the ones that are all the way slushy to the floor. No.
Okay.
So it wasn't a $60 worth of margarita, but we still got them.
Okay. Well, hey, shout out to you and shout out to the crew in Vegas. Encore pool. You never know what's going to happen. Speaking of never know what's going to happen, we're wrapping it up here with Gab Goody. Tom Brady roast last night. Did you catch that?
I saw the clips on Twitter and they were all hilarious.
They were all good. I was surprised at how over the top they went with Brady. I mean, he looked a little uncomfortable at times with certain ones, but.
But it was funny.
Good sport. Good sport. Just like anything, he finds a way to survive, whether it's, being down 20 in the Super Bowl or. Becoming a Florida man and unemployed all of a sudden. With that said, he was doing a great job biting the haters. I got to bring it up while I got you here. I opened up the timeline today, I think it was, and you were bodying a hater. The first
7 a.m.
So talk to me. Is it more, and we can peel back the curtain here. Is it more for the brand? Is it more so that people shouldn't get away with it that are doing it? Is it more to stand up for maybe who someone like you who doesn't have as big a platform that is getting it done to them? Is it a little bit of combo of all of them? What drives you to be this is, I gotta fire this out.
One, they shouldn't talk like that to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's so weird to comment about someone's appearance like that. Two, it's just really funny to do. And I feel I always have a good comeback. So why not use them? I think in my next career adventure, I think I need to be a ghostwriter just to insult people for others. If you need a comeback, give me a couple dollars. I'll have something ready for you in 5 minutes.
A ghost insulter. I that. I mean, now are you going to tell everyone to just threaten to crush everyone in their thighs? Is that the go-to
one? Well, no, it's situational.
Because I was going to say that's more tailored to your finishing move, right? Because I've seen you use that one a couple times. You get good. You people, get good on longevity. The crowd does though. So you got it's like Hulk Hogan with the leg drop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Literally. So shout out to them. Shout out to your finishing move, guys. Shout out to her rolling along here with us on Trainer Tonight 340. Make sure you're following her at GABBGOUDY. And she's got a couple burners where she's talking baseball and Gab. She's talking on TikTok. She's got it all. So make sure you're following her. Gab, thanks for coming along and make sure to have a good night now.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty, and we're back here on Trainwreck Tonight 340, caught up with Gab Goody of FanDuel. Always good to speak with her, but let's get into it. I love creating drama when there can be some in Trainwreck, good old-fashioned fun drama, but I don't have to create anything now because in the second round of the NBA playoffs, we got Dunny and Slick's Celtics sneaking by the Heat in a gentleman's sweep in five against Jake Micah's Cavs, who had to grind it out against, Banchero and the Magic. So, Micah, I'll let you kick this off. Are you feeling confidence heading into the series?
First of all, having to go up against Slick today here on Trainwreck Tonight, tomorrow night against Dunny, I'm going to be fighting for my life here on all our platforms defending the Cavaliers. The confidence level, though, if we're going out of 10, we're at a 2, maybe a 3. I'm not confident in this Cavs team. Listen, the fact that they snuck by this Magic team, that they wanted to play. They literally tanked game 82. We're we want the Orlando Magic, and then couldn't beat them on the road and now have to go into Boston at one of the best, I believe the best home floor, if not second best record in the league on the home floor. Not feeling great, but what I am encouraged by is Donovan Mitchell, who I have not been a big fan of his whole career. Was not happy before he got traded to the Cavs. Love having a superstar on the team, and he's been incredible. But I've made fun of him for some lackluster playoff performances. And what he did in Game 6 and Game 7, Game 6, putting the team on his back, literally 50 of 93 points, went crazy in a loss. And then yesterday, 37 points, carrying them in the second half. I think he had 24 in the second half. Just showed that he had a dedication to this team and that he could come through in those big moments. That's all I was hoping for from that guy. And he's on a bum knee, too. Like, that's the crazy. He's been dealing with a knee issue since the beginning of March, end of February. He's went out. I think he went to the locker room both in the last two games, get some treatment on the knee, came back out, and had really a legacy-defining performance. He had the better stats than LeBron James ever had in an elimination game for the Cavaliers. Like, that's the kind of area we're talking about with the Cavs. But if you're a Cavs fan, you just got to enjoy this. It's the first series since 93 that the Cavs have won without a guy named LeBron James on the team. So you really have to like enjoy this moment, enjoy the present. But I don't feel good about this series against the Celtics. Not one bit.
Dan Gilbert's first playoff series win without LeBron. So congratulations to him and the organization. Absolutely crazy. So Slick, you know, a counterpoint here. You get past the Heat in five. But with that said, we've seen, you know, in years past, the Celtics team can falter. Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling like it's, you know, a bump in the road? Or do we have to take this Cavs team seriously for the Celtics?
I feel confident. I think they definitely got to take them seriously. This Cavs team is pretty exciting to me. I do like when the Cavs are good. It just feels fun playoff basketball in Cleveland. And I think these are the type of guys to do it. And the fans love this team too, but going into Boston is a tough tale, as Micah said. You know, it'll be interesting if the Celtics can get consistent scoring from the likes of Derek White, maybe Peyton Pritchard off the bench, Sam Hauser. They'll be just fine without Porzingis, but it will be interesting to see how many games he is out for and if he does come back this series. I'm going to go with the Celtics in five again, but can't be taken too lightly. Every team in this is in the playoffs for a reason, and any team can win on any given night. Sure, it is hard as hell to play on the road in Boston against this Celtics team, but these Cavs are full of dogs, and I think if you take them lightly, they could give up a game or two. But I think I'm going to go with Celtics in five as of right now.
I will say the pressure is all on the Celtics in this series and Celtics 100%. Fans. Like, Cavs fans, we're ready. Like, my conversations leading up to Game 7 have been talking about blowing up the Cavs in the offseason, not about them winning the finals.
I know.
And that's where Cavs fans really are. So we're playing with house money. If the Cavs could steal one of these two games, especially in Boston, say Mitchell continues his hot streak, goes for like 50 or something like that. Caris LeVert has scored almost 50 points against the Celtics.
He had a great game last night, too.
And yeah, he played great last night. Like, if the Cavs steal that a little bit, we've seen this Celtics team, at least in the past, they have some pressure on them. That's where they've had some moments where they've crumbled, almost losing in six last year and then getting blown out in Game 7 to the Heat. I don't have to run through the whole ringer of losses for Slick here. I won't do that. I will say the last time the Cavs and Celtics played, Jason Tatum's first playoff series, lost to the Cavs in the
Heat. Yeah, oh, I remember that one vividly. So
I'm just saying the Cavs have had some, at least the most recent history, had some success. I think house money for the Cavs here. If you split a game in Boston, like especially this first game, going back to Cleveland 1-1, like you said, the crowd's going to be crazy. I'll be feeling a little bit differently about it. And I think that's good for the Cavs. Like, no pressure. They needed to get over that first round hump because last year against the Knicks left such a terrible taste in everybody's mouth, as it should have. They got destroyed, dominated that whole time. Where now we're here in this thing, got the win under their belt. Maybe it starts flying. You know, maybe that was just a little bump they needed to be the team that they have the potential to be. Like you said, Slick, the talent on this roster is still really, really good.
That Game 7 in 2018, I believe it was, ruined me as a Celtics fan. We went from rookie Jason Tatum probably doing the most insane dunk on LeBron James we've ever seen,
yep,
to go up like 8, and then 2 minutes later, LeBron's just ending our season.
Doing LeBron things.
The primal scream thrown in at the end didn't do anyone any favors in Boston either.
No.
No, it did not.
That was a scene. But yeah, so hey, sometimes you steal a game on the road, things can change. That's what happened with the Bandits this past week when they were able to steal a game against Toronto Rock and come back and lock up that series of two. Let's go to our friend Allie Brady, who's been holding down Banditland and much more. All righty, folks. My next guess, whether a Buffalo sports team is making a comeback or finding a way to break our hearts all over, there is one individual who can always make us laugh through the pain, and that is, of course, Allie Brady. Allie, welcome back to Trainer Tonight. How's everything? How are you doing?
Feeling great after yesterday's amazing win. What a game.
Seriously, couldn't believe they found a way to get done. So obviously, Allie, you're kind of like the hostess with the mostest for the Bandits. So now got to get you on here. A big rocking of Toronto. So talk to me. Second half, fourth quarter, down 8-4. What was the mood like in the arena? It can get pretty desolate in there sometimes.
Yeah. So we had over 16,000 fans last night. So that's still a raucous crowd. And you know, it wasn't crickets yet, but like, you know, we started picking up and I think Banditland felt the excitement. And after a while, we just hit our stride and just kept going. And man, I think the last few games of that we've had in that arena, you can feel the excitement and you can feel your anxiety. There's a lot of acid reflux going on, but
can never go wrong there.
Yeah, really amazing game. And, you know, I just, long live those players and that coaching staff, and they just know how to, you know, move forward. And it's just impressive. Such a great
impressive in more ways than one. Let's go back a couple weeks, because we were there a couple weeks ago when they were able to beat Georgia in overtime, obviously in the first round of the playoffs. Is that the loudest you've ever heard, you know, that arena for that near buzzer beater goal?
I think that was like, I had that on tape too. It's so amazing. I always get, you know, like if you have an Apple Watch, not to, hopefully they're a sponsor. But you're like, you know, loud decibel alarm yes. goes off. So that happens a lot in one game. But that Georgia goal in OT was just, yeah, another, just, I think people were literally screaming. So, just amazing. Yeah. Every game is really raucous there, which is good.
Now, I guess, so now they obviously have you host Sabres games as well. And we talk about this and you know, it's kind of very tough to define, but what makes like Banditland, or I guess what gives Banditland that edge versus like the same amount of people at a Sabres game on like a Friday night, for example?
Yeah. Well, I just fill in for the Sabres, so I don't do that as my, my number one, but, I think the music in the background really helps. We have this really great announcer, Swenny, who kind of like fills in and like talks to the crowd, which is great. It's a little more raucous. I think people know in lacrosse that it's fast. And I think if you're not wearing a suit, maybe that's the other thing with Sabres. Ticket prices are a little bit more expensive. So maybe people are just, a little nervous. But there is something... A live lacrosse game is going to be a little bit more, I don't want to say exciting because I love hockey too, but it's just a different atmosphere.
No, you're right. It's nonstop. I mean, a Sabres game, you know, you might go, you know, an hour or two without seeing a live goal, within the game. A Bandits game, even in a slow game, that's not going to happen for sure. So obviously we got the championship coming up against Albany. So it's all New York State. With that said, you've seen Banditland. Do you think, how much does this mean to the Bandit fans to kind of repeat and kind of defend this championship? I mean, it's one thing to win a championship, but to already be a champion and then kind of defend it and hold that top of the mountain. I mean, that's a little bit more special, right?
Yeah. This is my third season working with the team as their in-house announcer, and we've made the championship all three seasons, which is so wild. But, I think there's less pressure because you know what it feels like, right? But we were in the middle of the pack all season, and then we just started hitting our stride. And, you know, these players are hungry for it. The fans want it. And we've played some really tough teams. And, you know, I still think Albany is – we lost to Albany. I don't think this is an easy win for the Bandits. I know we can do it. We have the players. We have, again, the coaching. They have great players, but we have even better players, I think. There are some people to look out for, we play next Friday, next Saturday, but Alex Simmons is really good. He's leading in the playoffs right now. He's in Albany, Ty Kurtz, Travis Longboat, Ethan Walker. But we still have our superstar players like Josh Byrne, Kyle Buchanan, Chase Frazier, Chris Cloutier, Dane Smith, you know, Tehoka, Nandikoke. But so it's really evenly matched. But I think when you have a crowd of 18,000 people as your home base, like that, like players feel that a little bit more. And Bannatland travels. I know a lot of people said that they're going to go to the Albany game. So, you know, we'll show up.
You're sleeping on Vink there too. I mean,
Vino's in a class of his own.
Outstanding for sure. No, I mean, that's a big advantage, obviously, when you got that. So yeah, Bandits will look to defend their championship. And you put it perfectly. It was a very, like, this whole year was kind of just like a casual defense of the championship. It was like, yeah, they were the champion, but they never really blew the doors off of anybody. Kind of, you know, 50-50 here with most for the record. So yeah, very exciting, obviously, to see them back in the championship, and hopefully they can make it back to back. With that said, speaking of back, Lindy Ruff back. Hi. So I know, Allie, I know you've already talked about this on your platform and stuff like that, but obviously, like, what's your excitement level for Lindy Ruff and the Sabres? Are you all the way back in?
I'm in. I was never in favor of him leaving. I did love Granato, I think. I hate when people just, you know, when something's not going like their way, they just want to blow it up. And I get it, because fans, you're the one sitting there. Like, we're sitting there, we have all the players to succeed, but I love that he's coming home. I love that, you know, he's, as we know, has won with Dallas. He came in second in Jersey, and, you know, welcome home, Lindy. Like, I'm excited. And like, again, we have the players to get the cup. So
yeah, we have the players be talented. They need to be pushed to the edge. It's exactly what they were talking about at the end of the season. So we'll see if they can, you know, if Lindy can get the best out of this player and the best out of this roster, obviously. Yeah. We were talking, or I blurbed this to you in the rundown. So Lindy's back, obviously a great staple of the Buffalo late 90s, early 2000s. Is there any, I was saying, wondering if there's anything else we should bring back. I wrote down two things. One, okay. Dunkaroos. Yeah. I don't know, like, what happened to Dunkaroos?
Wait, the graham cracker or the pants?
Well, the graham cracker for sure.
Okay, Dunkaroos. Okay.
I don't know about the pants, but you know, we could bring them back to it if they were a great fit. And then AIM chat rooms. I just kind of miss the door opening and the door closing. I don't know why. I just miss it.
I like the trauma of it. those are both great. I think if I was going to do a food, I would say 3D Doritos. Long live the 3D Doritos.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. So unnecessary, but also not unnecessary. And then I think a sport thing, and I'm just going to put this out in the universe. If Lindy does not work, I think a great 90s Sabres player who is huge would be Mike Pekka. I think he is killing it right now as an assistant coach for the Rangers. He was so good at the Amerks, and I think he has potential to just be an amazing head coach, and maybe one day bring the 90s captain back to Buffalo.
Seriously, step by step, family does matter here in the Sabres organization. Winding it down here with Allie Brady, always fun to join her. Make sure you're following her, Allie Brady 13 on all platforms and all, and Allie _Brady on X. I had to bring this up though. I was like, because obviously, you know, you're at Banditland, you're at the Sabres. Not terrible pricing, pretty good options for the Sabres and Bandits pricing if you want to get like a beer at the game or something like that. At the F Formula One race this weekend, let's see if I can pull this up. Did you see this?
I saw a very,
steamed buns, $120. I mean, I don't care how good Korean barbecue shiitake is. I don't know if I could drop $120 on it.
What's the platter? Oh, quesadilla, honey mustard, and some tenders. Wow, $290. What a bargain. What a steal, huh?
Yes.
That's, okay.
$25 for a bottle of water?
Is that with Ozempic?
I have no idea. I did not think the Ozempic membership was a good. You ever overpaid anything for like an event like this?
I was thinking about this. Nothing that offensive, but most offensive thing I've paid for was at the Cure concert last year at Budweiser Stadium in Toronto. There was like an Amex lounge. So I was like, oh, this will be fun. They'll give us deals. And for a vodka soda, I paid, after I found out what the price was, $95.
$95 for a vodka. Was it at least a double?
No, it was a double, but it was like, I was like, oh, here's my card. It's going to be what, $17. And then they told me after I swiped and I was like, ooh, okay.
Why is it for, I don't know why it is, but for some reason on those, it's always after you swipe.
Okay.
It's never before. Like they never brace you like for the ridiculous price. I don't know why. Like, I don't know if they feel uncomfortable or whatever, but that's always the same way with me. I ever overpriced drinks, anything. It's always a swipe first. Ask questions later. I don't know what.
Maybe we look like ballers and then, but alas, I am not one. So
yeah, no, like I went, I remember when I bought something from the Bill store one time, the lady looked at me and she goes like, you know, this is $175. And I'm like, okay. Like, and I appreciated it. Like, listen, I ain't got it like that. She identified me perfectly. So I was perfectly fine being classified how she classified me. Speaking of classification, AB, big summer ahead. Obviously, we're just getting like relatively steady, decent weather here in Western New York. So with that said, what do you got on tap for the summer? What are your goals? What are you aiming for? What are you looking to achieve? What's most important to you going into the summer of 2024?
I would love a nice non-sunburned body, but just a little glow. But I guess you would call it professional sailor. Like I'm an actual competitive sailor. So that's going on the summer. I'm pumped to see Keon Coleman and the goofy stuff he's going to say and the training camp. So nothing too crazy going on. I don't think I'm doing much traveling, but, just a nice Buffalo, summer.
Let's get a nice Buffalo glow here this summer. Folks, keeping track at home, 83 days till training camp. So that's huge there. You know, who's counting? With that said, Allie B, thank you for stopping by. Obviously, Trainwreck tonight, 3:40. Always good to have you on. Always good to catch up. We'll be seeing you, obviously, at the Bandits Championship game next weekend. Hopefully, that's for a chance to clinch another back-to-back title. But anyone you want to shout out before you sign off here?
No. No, you know what? I'm going to shout out to Bandit. I was like... My mom's not watching.
Let's let you go.
Let's shout out for such a great weekend. And thank you for everyone listening. And for showing up. What a great season. We couldn't do without everyone who showed up and supported.
And we can't do without you folks. Make sure you're following Allie_Brady. Make sure you're following AllieBrady13. Folks, most importantly, make sure to go have a good night now. And we're back. Thank you to Allie Brady for joining us. Yeah, Bandit Land can be a crazy place. Speaking of crazy place, gents, I don't need to say to you, Lyon, France, this past Saturday. Simplement de. Ile phenomenal. I mean, I don't know. I still don't know what to make of it. I think we can say that crowd was amazing. We can say they're everything, but they made that event, and I mean, geez, Slick, you want to talk about special.
I was like, every two count, are they going to keep doing this? And they didn't let up the entire night. All credit to those fans. They're nuts. Really love the energy they were bringing the entire show. Guys like KO and Sammy, if he was backstage, must have loved that. Really cool to see. I hope we, under the Triple H era, we do start to get more of these European shows. Got that one coming up in Clash of the Castles in Austria.
Yep.
I mean, that's going to be rowdy in itself. The Ring General coming to Austria. Holy hell. But yeah, a fantastic show in France and that main event. Wow.
Glasgow, Scotland.
Drew.
Yeah. Drew.
Sorry. No, I just wanted to make sure. I knew we were in Europe.
Yeah, I think they are.
We got the Bash at Berlin later in the year too. September.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Getting them scrambled. Yes. But yeah, no, I mean the crowd was absolutely insane. I mean, whether it was, you know, finishing Paul Heyman's lines or yeeting with Jey Uso, just absolutely insane. And the nice thing is that this was kind of, I think we talked about it in the pre-show. It ended up kind of being like a house show-esque where, you know, it was basically mostly faces, pretty predictable, but that didn't make it any less of a bad show. I mean, that's the amazing thing about this. So, just curious what you guys' thoughts were though. Cause I know we all swept our picks. Anything you guys took away or anything that you're surprised by?
Not as surprised. I it is a little surprising, but to see, we've been very big on how over Jey Uso has been, seen it live in person, everything else. Holy shit though, man. That was one of the most special entrances. And I don't guarantee Jey Uso wasn't expect, like, I'm sure he expected a good response, saw that crowd was crazy. But those are the moments in wrestling where you're like, this guy used to be like, you know, face painted up, doing the dance, like you'd ask, like, didn't know which Uso was which, all this other stuff. And now this guy is a bona fide, I mean, no pun intended, main event superstar who's coming out and getting the best reaction of the night, better than Cody Rhodes, better than, you know, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. Like, he was the star of that show. So it's just crazy to see moments like that. And it wasn't, like you said, yeah, it was a house show-esque feeling. Like, you, it's kind of exactly how you expected it to go. I think they like doing that, these B shows in Europe, because it's a little taste of, like, this is what you could get. If pony up a little more money, we'll get you one of these big shows with some more surprising stuff going on, everything. But yeah, everything made sense. We had some good storyline development. And now coming into Raw, like, you have a new sense of, like, there's already a high sense of excitement based off of WrestleMania and everything else. But for a pay-per-view that could have been a dud and not felt anything, that crowd brought the energy up where now you're looking to Raw tonight, like, man, how do they follow that up and how do they manufacture that kind of energy that the crowd brought for them? Because that was amazing, man. It was a spectacle.
Yeah, it was a nice bookend to, like, those that first chapter after WrestleMania. So now I'm excited to see what's going on as we head into, you know, before you know it, it'll be Money in the Bank season. Obviously, we got Clash at the Castle. And then, of course, the SummerSlam, which pre-sale tickets go on for tomorrow. Now, I know we all sat together, so I think the plan that we're going to do is we're going to do, as of now, me, Slick, and Rob Ryan, like, get tickets tomorrow ASAP, and then obviously we'll try and link with you and the Cleveland Co. in the same section.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
We're taking over. We're just taking over First Energy, whatever it's called.
It's going to be a train wreck.
Seriously. So make sure you're not a train wreck. Make sure you're following us at all the platforms, of course, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Apple. Make sure you're following along the train. Make sure you're following Micah, Slick, myself. We got Happy Hour Hoops, obviously, coming up later in the week. So make sure you're following all the storylines with Celtics, Cavs as we ride along there. But thank you for riding along with us here on Trainwreck Tonight 340 Dirty at the Derby. Make sure you're subscribing to everything. Make sure you're following along and make sure to have a good night now.